Here we go again. What's up, human race? This is Lucky with the Journey Podcast. Been wanting to do this for a long time. We finally are sitting down to do it. I am sitting here with Jennifer Supergirl Courtney. What's up, Supergirl?
What's up, this guy?
Oh, boy. And this is what I have to deal with on a regular basis.
This guy.
So this is the podcast. We've been talking about doing it for a while, and here we are after being lazy. I would say it's been some sort of arduous task to put this all together, but it's just been laziness.
Procrastination.
Yeah.
Stuff goes on.
Stuff does happen in life, for sure. So we're hanging out right now watching Matt Mitrione in his grappling match against what looks like Andre the Giant in blue tights. Not sure exactly what's going on there, but we are doing this for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for us.
Yeah.
We have stuff we want to get off our chest.
Also to hang out.
And also hang out.
Outside the gym.
Yes. Outside of the gym. That being said, if you know me, might know, I am a martial artist and have been really studying hard Thai boxing for the last, 13 years or something like that. And put together my own sort of little kickboxing style, Western boxing mixed with Thai boxing, mixed with Taekwondo, mixed with, you know, many things. I started in Taekwondo when I was 11, so, or 9 even, a long time ago. Anyway, I've had some fun. I've won some amateur titles and stuff in Muay Thai, which has been great. And looking for a pro debut late in my career, but going to do it nonetheless. And so that's that.
Well, you also have your team.
And I have a full team of amateur fighters that are amazing people. People first. Amazing people first. And they bust their tails in there every day.
And you bust our tails.
And I bust their tails in their faces. It's not true. I don't beat up on my students.
Well, body shots.
Body shots, though, I will do. You'll have to keep your eyes open for those things.
So fun.
So anyway, watching this Matt Mitrione grappling match. And apparently, I didn't know this, Supergirl told me that he lost this match.
Yeah. Well, it was in Naga. I think it was right before his UFC fight. And I think people took notice just because he's a professional fighter and he wasn't engaging in his fight or in the grappling match. And it's like, really, like, you're a fighter, you're not going to engage, you're just going to, like, lay down and then throw a fit, basically, that the guy's not engaging you.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I feel like if you want to fight, you got to fight. It takes two. And, you know, sometimes it goes that way. But you can't just pull guard. You got to, if you're going to pull guard, you got to pull him into the guard with you. So, anyway, that being said, moving right along. Earlier we were talking about Sarah Kaufman and Ronda Rousey and
Davis.
Ah, yes, Alexis Davis. And you thought that Rousey is going to have no problem. Her striking's better than Kaufman's now, and she's going to take Alexis Davis out.
See, now hearing it like that, hearing
that's
it
what
that
you said.
Way, I'm like, oh, shit, that doesn't sound good.
That's what you said, though.
Yeah, I know, basically.
Me, on the other hand, I think that I think Rousey's probably going to win, but I think she's going to have her hands full because Alexis Davis ain't no chump.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Kaufman. I have, like, from before she was in Strikeforce.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, I don't mean to sound like that, though. Like,
but that's what you sound like. So, who cares? Who cares, man? Yeah, whatever, it's your opinion. I mean, you probably didn't say it like that. I probably said it a lot meaner than you did.
It was, like, super to the point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you mentioned that Ronda has that it thing or whatever, and a lot of the girls feel like they're missing something.
Well, it's kind of like when you watch, like, I mean, not nowadays, but back in the old days, there was a TV star versus a movie star. In the old days, there was a big difference in acting. And now I feel like it's changed, but if you had to go the old way, like, she has that.
That's because most of the movie people are becoming actors on TV now.
That's a good one. But that, like, she has that thing that when you watch her fight, it's, like, on a level above any of the girls that I've watched.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the deal is that she's really, she really has that killer instinct. She's there to do the job. You know, I don't think that the other girls aren't there to do the job, but I think that. Yeah, it's just a little different. Although, for some reason, I always feel that way about Liz Carmouche. I always think that she's always going to just go in
That's
there
true.
And That's wreck true. Shop. And it's not always that way, but I always feel that way.
But But she has that aggression, but I feel like her technique doesn't look like, when I watch Rousey, it's kind of like when I watch Sarah, who helped train you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I watch her move, and it's that similar, there's something there that when I watch it, I'm like, holy crap, that looks amazing and also deadly.
Yeah, I got a lot of my early training from a really cool woman, Sarah Zadanis, who is formerly Sarah Ponce, and she was doing Sanchal. So I learned a lot of that stuff when I was first starting out, and she's like my best buddy, and she really taught me a whole mess of things. And it's one of those, she's right. You know, you can see a difference between whether it's grappling or striking. You always are going to know the difference between high level and the next level down. There's just something there that's different, whether it be just understanding the movements better or able to apply them better, or maybe it's everything and just having natural instincts of what to throw and when to throw and or how to triangle setups and sweeps and all that stuff. So you always know when you're seeing or at least working with somebody at the next level up.
I mean, even the last UFC fight that I saw with those two girls, that they, like, went to town, stood in the pocket from each other, their faces after were, like, super humongous mouses, and everyone's like, that was great. And when I watched it, I didn't think
it was. You were like, they were brawling.
Yeah. And yeah. There was no, like, it was unnecessary. Like, I felt like that wasn't worth
what. Yeah, it's definitely better to hit and not get hit.
Well, if you can, I know, but if you're going to eat a hit, at least make it worth it. And I feel like it wasn't.
They didn't make it worth it, like, yeah.
So it was hard to watch.
Yeah, well, you know, you're such a stickler about technique.
Even though mine's not yet there.
Well, that's pretty good.
I see stuff.
Yeah, Jen was sparring today. She's just coming back from two knee surgeries, which, by the way, makes her probably the most badass person I know, because she's gone through two blown knees, I'm like ACLs, and here she is back again to follow this dream.
But it wasn't due to fighting.
Yes, right. These were injuries that were
stupid life mistakes.
Yeah, one of them was blown ACL by dropping it like it's hot, and the other one was blown ACL by, oh, was that a curb there? Ow!
Well, I was drunk.
And cocktails were involved. Yeah. So
not proud of that moment. Yeah. She probably don't drink anymore.
Yeah, I wasn't proud of it either. I'm glad you're back to training. So she kicked me in the body today with this leg that she barely wants to lift off the floor. And I went, ow, that was a kick. It was definitely deep and I felt it. So glad to know you're up and moving around and feeling good.
But there's a big difference. Like, I feel like even helping you in the corner for fights that we've done and like watching these fights, like, and watching so many fights over the years, I kind of feel like, and there's times you try to correct me in the moment, and I'm like, I already know that I messed up with that technique and that I'm not doing something right, but my body's not there yet. And it's, that's probably the most aggravating part of recovery, is that, like, I know better, but my body's, like, a little too slow, or it's getting a little tired, and I'm like, what? No, that's not, you're not doing it. Do it better.
Yeah.
And eat another body shot.
It's going to take another body shot, and it's going to take a little while, but you know, you're on the road back, and honestly, you look really impressive for somebody who hasn't done this for a long time. You know, you step in there and spar, you're throwing combinations, and it looks good, man. It looks good, so.
It didn't help that, the first time I tore my ACL was, it took me a year or two to get health insurance to get it fixed, so I was, like, running around on a torn ACL, and then I get it fixed. I use cadavers, which I do not recommend. Come back 6 months later, I do like one or two classes, and then I re-tear it.
So they cut a piece of
someone else
tendon from
a
cadaver and put that in your knee.
Because I heard that there was fast recovery.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, that's great. Fast recovery is awesome. I've already been out for way too long.
Did they tell you that the piece they were getting is from a dead person?
Yeah, cadaver. I mean, you have...
like, it's not... It probably may not work the way it should, because the dude's actually dead.
They give you like three options, and it's a cadaver, it's using your own hamstrings, or parts of it, and then using your own patellar tendon, which is, like, the gold standard. And I've already used my patellar tendon when I was, like, in my early 20s for soccer. So I'm like, okay, I'll go the fast route. I'll get the cadaver. And that just, it didn't... It did someone else's tendon and bone, and then a screw on the other end holds it in. And he told me that it's fine, athletes do all the time, you know, that he goes and chooses these pieces specifically to make sure it's they're good pieces, and I pushed it too soon, I think, because you need to wait, and I just got overzealous, I think.
Yeah, because you were in beast mode. You were like, oh, I'm about to come back and get my MMA on.
And then
you
didn't.
And then your knee was like, you're what? And then you went dancing, right.
I went dancing and I went, dropped it low.
Dropped it low.
But my foot stayed planted and just twisted.
Which, to me, I don't, you know, I'm not much of a drop like a top type of dude.
I'm also drinking again. Like, there's a drinking component to all these things that, yeah. Which is why I'm like, I don't want that beer. I'm good.
Yeah, she's afraid to have a cocktail now. Fair enough. We're in training. So, what else? You guys were over last weekend watching Glory,
mm-hmm.
which was
awesome, and a marathon.
And a marathon, man! You had to be in it to win it, so to speak, for that one, because
to fight in it and to watch it.
And to watch it because the undercard. It was a lot of fights.
The great fights.
Yeah, they were good. I love you're supposed to be technically sound. You're watching strikers that are supposed to be the best in the world, but you got to see some goodness, man.
Well,
some action.
And you were inspired.
Oh, absolutely. Totally.
That one move especially.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just like, first of all, I just like that you can strike and you can be sloppy, or you can strike and you can be crisp. And when you're crisp, it looks fucking beautiful. So I'm excited about that. And you get to see a lot of it in Glory. I mean, guys are crisp, man. They're hitting the liver shots. Their jabs are on point. They're throwing three-punch combinations, finishing with kicks. Then they're throwing, spinning crescent kicks or heel kicks or whatever. And they look really good. So, fun to watch.
Well, it's cool to see an 8-man tourney and then have
right.
fights in between so those guys can rest. Because to fight, what was it, 4 times or 3 times?
3 times.
In one night. And you saw, like, how taking damage early on, just that one guy played really smart. He, like, stayed on the outside a lot. The guy
Artem Levin, yeah.
He knew better. He's like, well, I'm going to fight 3 times. I can't.
Yeah, I thought he had an easy draw. I mean, what do I know? I know zero. So, but I thought, in my opinion, that he had, no disrespect to the people that he fought, but it looked like he had a fairly easy draw.
As opposed to
this. Whereas, on the other side of that card, there were killers, and
went over.
Yeah, and they had extra rounds, and big shout to Joe Schilling because he was awesome. He was awesome. He, iced Simon Marcus, and then he exercised the next demon against Wayne. What's his name? Wayne Barrett, something like that.
I believe so.
Well, either way, they both had beat him in the past, and he was able to finish both of those guys off and, get his redemption there. But I think he was just too beat up once he got to the final. I mean...
Yeah, but he did... How many rounds was it? It was 8 rounds going into the final. And the other guy literally only fought... Was it 4 or 3 rounds?
Oh, I don't know. I don't even remember.
Like,
yeah, maybe
I
like,
remember the first fight was like 1 round. He beat the guy in 1 round.
Right.
And then the next round, I think he either went 2 or 3... But he was, when you saw physically them both come into that ring for the final, one looked fresh and the other one looked like he's been through some wars.
Oh, for sure. It's tough, man. I mean, that's a difficult thing to have to go and fight several guys in a night and then, that damage that you take, especially if you had wars. Like, he didn't have three-round fights. He had 4-round fights before. And that means the fights were so even that they had to do an extra round. So it was very difficult, I'm sure, for him to even just walk down there to do it. But... Bad motherfucker, man. Yeah. For sure.
No girls fighting Glory, right?
Not that I know of. I don't think that they have a girls division just yet, although they should.
But Lion Fight does.
Lion Fight, yeah, of course. Lion Fight's pretty good. It's always entertaining. Again, those are cards that are marathons as well, because they're 5-round fights.
That's true.
So you are literally there for 5 rounds. And, I get it. Everybody has their opinion on what striking is better and which ones they should, what they like better. I like them all, right? I do like them all. I love Muay Thai, straight Muay Thai, full Muay Thai rules, elbows and knees and clinches and throws, and that's, my heart is there. I also love Glory or K1 rules, as some people call it, because it's continuous action. The clinch in Muay Thai sometimes will slow the action down if guys aren't working, and because it's Muay Thai, they're allowed to stay in there. They're supposed to be working, but if the ref isn't breaking them and they're not working, then it sort of drags it along. Whereas in Glory, you have got to fight. There is no clinch. You're not allowed to lock up and hang on.
But do you feel like the clinch is also there because there's no elbows? So I feel like if you're having people fighting in a tourney, you can't have... Yeah, you're going to get cut throwing punches and, you know, the occasional knee to the face, but, like, there's more room for cuts in a clinch because you're right there. And most people, I mean, most TIE fighters, that's what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. And no elbows anyway, so...
Yeah.
But I just think it also makes the action push. It keeps you going because nobody's grabbing and holding on. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing that people argue about in MMA when they watch the UFC or whatever. The average Joe would argue, yeah, but when they're laying on top of each other, you know, and even the casual fan or fans will go, yeah, you know, it was a great night of fights, but I didn't like this fight or that fight because it was, I mean, I don't want to say for all wrestlers, it was a wrestler, the guy just got on him and, you know, quote unquote humped him for, you know, it gets a little slow, you know, if the guy just wants to hold you down and win, I get it. You hold him down, you win.
But Dana White stated that, like, there's a difference between grappling and moving for position and just holding the person there.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. But and that's the thing when I talk about, when you talk about Glory, is that maybe because they don't allow long-term clinching, you get a lot more action throughout the fight because you have got to fight. You don't get to slow down. So, you know, if you're looking for action-packed, nonstop, I mean, that's some serious striking, man. Serious.
That's true. Innovative. Different things you've never seen before that you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
What?
You're like, ooh.
And some of those guys, like, that speed that they do, you're like, wait, what did I just...
Right, yeah.
So you have to, like, rewatch it. Like, I know for at least a week, I kept replaying some of the fights in my head because I was like, that... I don't quite understand what I saw. Like, I understand, but it's not sinking in.
Yeah, yeah. And you, I mean, you're mostly, for those that don't know, she's super flexible and probably has a better grappling game than most. So she's really, I mean... I don't want to talk about you like you're not here, but Supergirl is a grappling genius. So, you know, her striking's just getting on par, I think, with her grappling, which is great.
Yeah. I think it's funny that when I came back, you're like, I was really worried about it because I was never.
Man. You know, you know when you can watch somebody and you know they're thinking about every movement they're making, that's what was going on. And I was like, oh, Lord, please help.
And I kind of like that you were like, what did you do? I just watched fights. Like, I couldn't do anything. Literally couldn't. So I just watched and I kept watching striking that I, like, that inspired me and that I thought, like, ooh, that spoke to me. Like, that looked really great. What did they do? And I watched it again. Yeah. And so I'm trying to, even, like, walking around with my job or when I was resting, I would visualize me, you know, shadowing. How does this look? How does this feel? That helped a lot. Like, I think without that time, even though it sucks that I was away for such a long time, I feel like that without that, I think I wouldn't have progressed probably around the same, maybe, because I was so stuck, like, you know, like, I saw your frustration in the striking game.
Yeah,
like,
well.
And I wasn't getting any better. Now, on the ground, I kept getting better and better, but I, like, plateaued super early, and it wasn't even, like, good basic stuff. And I saw that, and I was like, uh-oh, and then, you know, you have to turn my ACL. But I feel like if I would just continued, I probably would have gotten better at grappling and probably would have gone away from the striking then, because I think I would have gotten frustrated too. Whereas when you're away and you're just watching them the whole entire time and you want to be in there, I think that spurred that fire of like, hang on, I can get better. This is, you know, let me just watch these people. And that helped like majorly. Like, and I know you've been talking about watching something, being a fan versus watching it and being a coach and being technical and like picking it apart. And I feel like I did both, and that helped, but now I need to focus even more on the technical.
Yeah, for what people that don't know what she's talking about, I was having this conversation with the people I train, and I basically said, you know, we all watch these fights as fans, and when you're trying to train and learn how to do whatever it is, fighting or whatever, that you need to, or grappling or stand-up, that you need to sort of enjoy the fight as a fan, maybe, and then go back and watch it if you have to. But you should be watching it from the standpoint of a competitor, because you start to get a little bit more out of the technique and the technical aspects of the fight, rather than, oh, you know, oh, you got caught in a triangle, or, you know, if you go back, right, yeah, if you go back and watch it, and, you know, as a competitor, you're looking at how do you set the triangle up, you know, what did he do wrong to get in that position in the first place. You start to break it down in your head, it makes your game so much better. You know, I've would often hear, you know, the students talking about whatever fight they just saw. We just saw this fight versus this, that person versus that. It was such a great fight. Blah, blah, blah. But if you asked them a specific technique or some technical aspects of the fight, they couldn't give it to you. And they're in that, in my opinion, you're letting opportunities pass you by to learn. So that's what she was getting at.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So I guess we're assuming that everyone that's listening is they're fighters. Talking about glory and talking about...
I mean, I guess it's a fighter podcast /, I don't know, whatever we want it to be podcast.
I mean, because people watch, and this has been interesting because I've been away for a little bit, but like talking to the casual person, it's not MMA, it's UFC.
Right, yeah.
And when I say like glory or I use any other league, period, they're like, wait, what's that? And I'm like, it's MMA, what's that?
It's, yeah.
And then they say UFC and like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, but UFC's a league. It's like, you know, the NFL. And they're like, oh, really? I thought that was the, and then it's having to like.
Well, yeah. And the other thing is funny is that I wrote in my blog about people being, you know, they think they're fighters, you know, they go take a jiu-jitsu class at the local Y and, you know, next thing you know, they're telling people how they're a fighter or whatever the situation is. But now that's translated into everybody's a fan, but they don't know shit about what they're watching. So fair enough. I mean, I get it. You're watching, you enjoy it. Do it, man. We need more people involved so that we can earn a living because that's what we love, whether it's fighting or training or coaching or, you know, whatever it is.
I mean, I feel like Joe Rogan does an amazing job trying to help the casual fan understand what's going on, especially on the ground.
Oh, for sure. Commentating. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's like one of the biggest things. Like if he didn't do that, and then that's the reason why the UFC also fought. Like,
but have you been to the, that. I mean, I haven't been to a UFC, but I've been to Glory and I've been to Bellator.
We don't hear the commentary.
Well, we do, but I was going to get after the fact that in the crowd.
That's true.
Rip his fucking head off.
That's true.
You're like, what?
That's very true.
Tear his arm off. Fuck him up.
Yeah.
You know, these are, and it's really just beer drinking.
Yeah. But and also, like, seat-wise, there's, from having sat, like, at Bellator, like, in the front row, to sitting, like, I kind of feel like middle up in the very center is probably the best place to sit.
Right, that's not where, there's no fights going on there.
No, but, like, I'm saying, like, to get the view of the cage. I feel like when I sat...
Oh, to watch it.
Yeah, because I was on the front row. Everyone's like only like trying to like lean
out. Well, I sat front row at Glory and it was freaking amazing.
That's different because Glory, I know, it's the ring and it's not the cage and there's not as many posts in the way. And
yeah. Well, I mean, ultimately what I was saying was that, you know, people... I don't know that people know what they're watching or care. They just want to see a spectacle.
Well, it's like the gladiator people.
Right.
I'm sure there are people back in Roman times that are like, that's amazing block he just did, and da-da-da. And their guys were just like, blood!
Ah, yeah. Kill him! Yeah. Let out the lions! Yeah. Yeah, that whole thing. For sure. But, I mean, listen, like I said, I want as many people, I guess, to be involved as possible. But I don't want is... I'm running the show. I declare. No, I have a real issue with people being fighters and martial artists and respect and honor and that whole thing. I mean, I just don't feel like it has to be built off of anger and rage.
Well, you have your own, I feel like by having your own team, I feel like everyone on the team is similar minded. Like, I remember when I first met you and we were at, you didn't have a team yet, like you trained some people.
Right.
And we were at a gym and there are guys who train and come in, and before you guys would get there, we'd talk about how like I had my friend hold this guy with the hands behind the back and I had to baton in his body because he gave my girl like a wrong look. And then when he let the hands go, I'm like, come on, give me a shot. And then I guess he ducked it and then knocked the guy out and then kept going. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, I wanted to fight, and this guy didn't give me anything. I'm like, wait. You fought someone at a club, waiting in line at a club, who had no prior experience, and you got mad that he fell down and he couldn't hold his own, and you like went to town on him.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
What is that? Like, that's not fighting. That's being a bully. Like,
yeah.
It's not any kind of
restraint. Well, I mean, yeah, for sure. And I think that for me personally, I mean, when I first started really getting into it, I was like, I'm going to do MMA, and that was sort of where my head was. And then what I tell people now is that I'm a, sort of a traditionalist in that I like to compete in jiu-jitsu separately and kickboxing separately. And, you know, I just feel like, for me personally, I'm getting more out of it. I'm able to focus a lot. Now, don't get me wrong. Like I said, MMA was my first, like, that's what I'm going to do. So I'm quite familiar with, you know, what it takes to do that. I think I've judged a bunch of MMA fights. I've trained a bunch of MMA fighters. But I do love traditional martial arts because there just seems to be a lot more respect and admiration for each other. Because, listen, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of guys that shake hands and hug each other after the fights, but there's also a lot of douchebaggery going on as well.
I don't want to put, I mean, because I love MMA, I don't want to say that it's the sport itself. It's just the person. And I feel like a lot of, like, I know that if a student of yours or a person on our team did that, you'd be like, that's it. And I think you even told the little girl who came in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And you're like, hey, if you use this stuff outside and it's for, no, then you're gone. Like, because you have to have that boundary so they understand.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I got it, you know.
No, I know.
And it is the sport. And that's the other thing, I think, not to diss MMA again, is that I think a lot of people, but a lot of people are coming to MMA as MMA. Whereas when it first sort of started and when people got into it, it was, there were styles. Judo versus jiu-jitsu versus what, you know, a lot of traditional styles, karate versus kenpo versus whatever, you know. So when I say that there's a lot of douchebaggery that goes on, it's because the respect that was maybe there isn't there as much because you're starting to get people that didn't come from a background of just traditional martial art. They went straight into MMA. So they don't have to bow before they walk on the mat. They don't have to bow to their instructor. They don't have to greet people with respect and honor and treat people that way. It's not required of them. But they're just required to show up at the gym for wrestling practice, boxing practice, kickboxing practice, and conditioning practice.
But the thing is like, when you're watching those guys, and let's say they make it to the UFC, right? They make it to the big show. I feel like for a while they're doing well because they had a little bit of everything. But now I feel like you're seeing the resurgence.
Resurgence. Or however she wants to say it.
Of, you need to have someone that has at least, not necessarily a black belt, but you need someone that has a foundation in something and that does it really well mixed with other two things. Like, and they're, like, I mean, the Ronda Rouseys, the Machida, like, they have that one style in them, and they do fantastically. And they're, people don't, because they haven't seen that technique in a while, like that person that's, hey, I'm great at this, and I know these other things. Like, I feel like the really good MMA person is now understanding, oh crap, I have to go and like work on my jiu-jitsu. And, like,
yeah, I mean, I get it. I think so too. I think they have to do those things, but they're not doing them in the fashion that they were done before.
But when you go to the Gracies, I'm sure they have respect there.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's not, I mean, I'm not putting everybody in that boat, but there's a lot of people in that boat. There's a lot of people in that boat. And it's, listen, it's great. Do your thing, man. But for me, I like to, I don't have to be mad at you to punch you in the mouth.
True.
I punch my best friends in the mouth all the time, and they punch me in my mouth, and we all laugh, and it's, you know.
True.
But we also bow and respect each other and hug each other, and, you know. That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
So that being said, George St. Pierre coming back from another knee injury.
Yeah, it's ACL again, but it's the other leg.
Yeah, I figure you can relate to that. And it's a good segue because he also is, I think, a traditionalist in that he comes out to the octagon in his gi, or he did before he was quote unquote retired.
Yeah.
And so did, I think Anderson did once, or at least maybe a couple times.
Machida. A few of them. Machida. I feel like, well, sometimes they do it, I think it's like to boast. Like, when Henderson came out with his
black belt. And then got submitted. Ouch! I love that, dude. Don't wear your black belt out to show off your black belt and then get submitted with the armbar. Yeah. Please don't.
Kind of asking for it a little bit.
Jeez, man.
But, you know, he did it. But I feel like when he did it, I don't know if it was 100% being respectful or, hey, look, I got a new belt.
Well, I'm going to tell you, when Anderson Silva wore his stuff out to the cage to fight Sonnen, and Sonnen whooped on him for 4.5 rounds, and then he triangled him, and then he went, Nogara, jiu-jitsu, or whatever he said. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
If you're going to wear it out, you wanna that's
show
how you do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're going to show it off.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, that was bad, man. Slick, though, man. So slick.
Well,
Anthony Pettis.
Yeah.
Slick.
And staying relaxed and calm, you know.
Yeah. I mean, listen, man. To me, I don't... I'm part of Duke Rufus Striking University. I'm, like, doing that thing, which I love. Big shout to Duke Rufus and Pettis and all that. I happen to think that, you know, Pettis is awesome. He won those fights tremendously. I like man. I think he can beat him. I don't know if he will ever. Sometimes people just have your number.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I think he can probably do away with just about anybody else, but sometimes somebody just has your number, and I think Pettis maybe just has his.
Well, I think we're seeing a lot the creative. So you see people who are, yeah, I'm a black belt in this, and I can do this, and they're aggressive. But the things they do, it's kind of... It's like painting a painting. And there's doing what, you know, like, I can do a sunset that I was taught how to do, you know, from day one. And then there's, you know what, I'm going to change it up on the fly. I'm going to do this instead. Because I see this as being open, and it's like being your own coach in the moment and going, hey, I see this, and I'm going to do it. Now, I mean, Pettis, he tried to do that fancy kick, and that's how he got on the ground. But he was able to keep going off of that. Like, I'm going to try this move.
Yeah.
Like, to, you know, but... I feel like the creative fighters.
Well, that's what you have to do, right? Well, that's also what you have to do. If you're planning on being a champion, you have got to be able to say, I'm willing to be able to do these kicks or whatever because I might end up on my back, but guess what?
I'm still good on my back, so no.
I'm dangerous on my back.
Yeah.
So I think that if you're not that way, you're not ever going to be a champion, at least not for a long time. The belts sometimes pass hands, you know, from one guy to the other, but... You know, people that are champions and defended a few times usually are very well-rounded.
We have to be. I mean, that's the whole point of MMA right now. Like,
yeah.
I mean...
Would you say that people... That, I mean, I've heard this a few times, and would you say that people are coming in or just athletic?
I think temporarily, yeah. For a while, I mean, even seeing people come into the gym and then seeing people professionally in amateurs, I feel like the athlete, the CrossFitter, was like coming in and being like, look, I have great cardio and I can do this, this, and this. And I just kind of, they were doing great because the people who just did jiu-jitsu or did whatever, they were losing. And it's just because they didn't have that conditioning. And then you hear all these people come in, they're like, oh, I have great conditioning and da-da-da, but now they're losing now. Because even though they have great conditioning, it's, okay, are you creative enough? Are you actually, you know, great at this one area? No? Okay, then you're going to start to lose. Like, crap, and I've been blanking a lot lately on people, fighters' names.
So wait, what you're saying is, like, but you think that athletes are taking over the sport?
I think for a while they did. And
you think that's going away now?
And I feel like the fighter's coming back. The fighter who has that black belt. Okay, like Ronda Rousey. I feel like not only is she athletic, but I kind of view her as a martial artist because of the whole judo and...
Yeah.
You know, she's strengthening up and closing all those holes that we all saw.
So what you're saying is like, so maybe like Sarah McMahon's... Well, I can't say that.
There's no athletes.
Maybe Carmouche, she's an athlete.
Yeah.
So somebody as athlete with Carmouche almost got her.
She did. I mean, and that was great. But Rhonda, in the moment, as she's getting neck cranked, understood, hey, I need to release this hook and she's going to fall right off.
Right. So you're saying her technique, her fighter technique.
I mean, she almost got her. But that is a big difference right there in like a champion and then just being like a competitor. Now, once Carmouche tightens up and learns more technique and understands like, hey, I should have... She could have done something to bring Rhonda down so Rhonda couldn't take off that. And then she would have been in trouble and that would have been it. But Carmouche just kind of armed it and tried to, like, muscle it in. That just...
I don't think that, you know, I mean, it's been a minute since I've seen that fight, but I don't think that she could have gotten her, I think it would have been really difficult to get her standing up.
I know, so I'm saying, like, so if she had her on the back, she was in the back, and she was
cranking. No, I'm, yeah, I got it.
Neck, if she would have broken down and allowed her to get on the ground and not reach for that, like, because Rhonda had to reach down. If the floor was there, she'd have been in trouble, and that would have been it. But that's the difference between being an athlete and just being great conditioning, and then knowing the technique to finish things.
Oh, maybe, yeah. I got you. I got you, man. I got you. But, oh, well, speaking of, then, let's move on. BJ Penn, Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
It's gonna Who be, you got?
Penn, because I want him to... I know that in the gym, you're like, you're talking bad about Penn. I'm like, no, I love Penn. I feel like...
She don't love you, BJ.
I do. I mean, he's the one that, through just watching him fight, I learned the Gogopada. Which, even though I know the name of it for a long time, you got kind of mad about that. You're like, there's a name for it.
Yeah, I'm not a huge stickler. It's funny, because you might think I'm a stickler about knowing the names of moves. If you're, I'm only a stickler about things if you're going to come tell me about them. Because, like, one of our students, Pam, who has been watching MMA now and Glory and all these things, will, for instance, come and tell me, there's a fight between this guy and this guy, and one guy was tall and the other guy was short, and then, you know, and I'm like, who was it? You know, because generally speaking, if you can tell me who it was, I'll probably know the fight. But yeah, I need to know the names of the move or the names of the person that's in the fight so that I can relate to it better.
There's these two guys, and they're fighting, and it was tall.
Yeah.
And it was big, and it was...
Yeah, and then they'll go, it's a good fight. It was a good fight. And I'll be like, well, what...
What league? What day?
What's the name? Who was it?
Oh, it was great. I don't know. It was...
Oh, so irritating. Yes, I want to have a conversation with you about whatever fighting it is that you want to talk about. But you got to give me something. You got to tell me a name.
I think even I use, like, oh, he did that thing. And you're like, what thing?
Yeah, I need to know. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, like, it's called the Gogopada. And I'm like, wait, say it again? And then it took me a while to remember that name.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so just watching Penn do that and seeing how flexible he was, like, he kind of became who I was watching to, like...
So you're going Penn.
I think because my heart wants it.
Your heart wants it. That's so sweet. You're a sweetie. My heart wants it. I'm going Penn too, and for the same reason, my heart wants it. I actually think that he did really well the first fight. I thought that.
But I think to call up Dana to be almost haunted by it, to go, you know what, this pushed me in training.
But that's BJ, you know, BJ's that dude. He's that guy, man. He wants it against anybody. He thinks he can be, and I don't blame him, because I've seen him do some really amazing things.
Prodigy for a reason.
Man. So, yeah, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it. If it's his last fight, if he never fights again, if he would have never fought this time, I'd still have the same respect for him, because he's the real deal, man. He says, you know, he'll call a person out and say, I want him. No, I really want it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's GSP, Matt Hughes, whoever it was, you know. And he fought Henzo. He fought Machida at, what, 205 or something back in the day? 185?
His weight ranged. Like, he didn't have... He had that fighter mentality of, I'm going to fight you. Wait, what do you weigh? Okay.
Yeah, it didn't matter to me. This is him.
So, literally, I think he was, like, in five different weight classes at one point, like, fighting all over the place.
Yeah.
And then he did Pride. Yeah. Like, he went everywhere trying, because he had that fighter, I'm going to fight you.
Yeah, BJ was awesome, man. So, anyway, I think that I'm calling BJ to win, and mostly because I just want him to win.
But if he's been training the way that I've seen him a little bit on the Ultimate Fighter, I've kind of seen, like, photos of him. Like, he looks in way better shape than he's ever.
For sure, he does. The only problem BJ is facing is Frankie Edgar.
Yeah.
I think, like we were talking, I was just talking about, you know, sometimes somebody has your number and Frankie might just have BJ's number. I think BJ in any other circumstances is just devastatingly too good. I thought when he goes up in weight, he has problems. When he fought Rory McDonald, he fought Diaz. I mean, he's that weight's heavy though. Those guys fight heavy. Heavier than him. Yeah, much heavier.
They all walk around in a way higher weight.
Yeah, they all walk around like 30 pounds heavier than him. So, for me, when I watch those losses, it really upsets me, because I think, at least for The Rory McDonald thing, I thought Rory was way too excited about how he beat BJ. I think Nick and BJ are buddies, or at least were at some point. So as much as Nick had to do what he had to do and BJ took it, I don't think there was a disrespect either way there. What do I know? I live in Miami and they live all the way on the other side of the country. I only see them in videos.
This will be gleaned from the social media and from little interviews here and there and from fights. Like, I mean, it'd be great if we could, like, I think that's a lot of us, like, really great hardcore fans, I feel like, can never get enough. And, like, we want to know more, and instead of, like, the like, cookie cutter. So...
Yeah, and I think what's funny about that is we do want to know more, but we don't fucking know more, but we actually act like we know more.
Like, most likely he probably does this.
Yeah, excuse me.
So, I mean, but I think fighters keep that stuff close to chest anyway, because they kind of need to. You need to have some kind of edge. Well, unless you're Ronda Rousey. I'm sure you're Myron Barr. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's something about fighters, I think, as well, that have... that instinct that they just don't care what you know about them or whatever, because they're going to bring their
themselves fully. A lot of interviews, though. Like, I feel like I've heard only a few reporters actually ask, hey, what do you walk around at? Right?
Right.
And I don't hear a lot of answers, because I feel like that's one of the things that's really hard to figure out. Like, hey, what do you walk around at?
Right.
A few fighters like Sarah Kaufman, like, I was super excited about her interview because she gave everything. And I'm like, this is awesome. Now, it doesn't take away from her fighting. Like, you can't, what she gave you didn't give her like a key to beating her, but it gave something for the person that's training, going, okay, now I have a better understanding of our idea, like, not only from my coach and my trainer, but other fighters. Like, it gives you like a healthy understanding. I feel like when you hear guys cutting weight, like 50 pounds, 30 pounds or whatever, I think it's 30 pounds, like the max, like, that stuff is like, oh, that's important, because I don't want to be him now, because I can't, 30 pounds every weight cut isn't that healthy.
Listen, you know how I feel about weight cutting. And I'm gonna state this, and I know a lot of fighters, and they're probably gonna say whatever they have to say about this. I know it's part of the game now, and that's what it is. But I always feel like if you're the baddest motherfucker, be the baddest motherfucker at whatever weight it is. I always give you a 10-pound range, because, or 12 pounds even, because you're gonna lose 10 or 12 pounds in your basic 6-week training camp anyway. Just losing weight as you're training and eating better. But to have to drop 30 pounds and then go and say you beat somebody's ass who might have only dropped 10 or 12 pounds, to me, does not make you the baddest guy. I think that you're only the baddest dude if you're at your weight, which is, or within 10 pounds of your weight, and you weigh in and then you would get off the scale when you go to the ring or the cage, that you're only a few pounds over that. Because you've eaten or whatever.
But it's another thing, like, fighters aren't... I feel like the majority of my fighters don't divulge that publicly. Now, within our own team, girls... I mean, mostly girl fighters will talk about their weight. They don't care. Like, it's like, okay, this is what I'm at right now. Amongst my own, like, teammates. But I know when I've asked people, like, at Naga, I'm like, hey, how much do you normally... They, like, walked away from me. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't... Me, personally, I've never cut more than 10 pounds. Never cut more than 10 pounds.
I didn't cut anything for Naga.
I just don't care. I feel like if you got to cut all that weight, then
we've seen
you're
fights,
not as badass as you thought you were.
But we've also seen fights where they've cut that weight and you see, like, they just look like...
Oh, they look like shit. Vitor versus Anthony Johnson. I mean, this dude, they had to tell him to not cut any more weight because he could die. And, I mean, he was walking around at 2-something and fighting 170? Yeah, he was cutting the 170.
It was bad. But you saw, like...
He was cutting the 170, but the Vitor fight was 185, right? And so he couldn't even make 185.
Because when you cut weight constantly like that, and then you try to cut down, like, it starts to mess with your body.
But I could be wrong by all that, by the way, but...
Well, we don't have some person pulling stuff. That'd be great. Someone to pull some stats up. Hey, by
the way. We're right in front of the computer, I suppose, so we could Google it.
But, so back to the point of fighters and, you know, like, interviews, like, I just kind of feel like... Me being a fighter and a fan, I want to know so much more, and I'm not getting it. And when I do get it, I am super excited, and I think that makes, like, for a better interview. Like, and as a fighter, you're not telling me, like, hey, I'm going to do this, and this is my weak stuff. Oh, yeah, I could. But that's where you get, like, little gems. So then the average person, I feel like, doesn't know. Like, okay, the average UFC fan, if you went to a fight and you're like, hey, you asked about cutting weight or, like, what goes on with training, I feel like they wouldn't know. Like, they just see awesome fights and they have no idea, like, what that trainer, what that fighter has to go through to cut weight and then how much he's cutting. Like, now Joe Rogan will say, oh, he had a hard weight cut, you know, now he looks a little better at this weight, he's fighting at his natural weight. Like, what, you look like...
So it was UFC 142, Vitor versus Anthony Rumble Johnson. And as we know, Vitor submitted Anthony Johnson. I mean, he looked fantastic. But Anthony Johnson came in at 197 pounds. And I believe their fight was at 185. So he's now fighting at 205, which is obviously better for him. And he looks better and performing like a maniac. But again, cutting whatever, 30 pounds, it's, I mean, come on, man.
Well, they say it's for the advantage, but...
And I get it. And it's not just him. There's other guys out there that are doing it. I was listening to somebody talk about they, you know, I can't remember whoever it was that fights in the UFC that cuts 30-some-odd pounds. It's a lightweight or whatever.
But he's down, though, apparently. He's down. But you hear about it, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
That's insane. But then you hear about the fighters who actually now, it's what, their liver? Or it's the kidney that fails? And now that's, like, one guy, he was fighting UFC, he was cutting a lot of weight all the time. And also, yeah, he found out that if he cuts weight again, he could die.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, that was that worth, I don't know.
And for you guys at the gym, just so you know, not my gym, all gyms, when you're cutting weight and you're cutting what liquid fluid off of your body, you're also cutting fluid out of your brain. And just in case you did not know, your brain floats around in fluid. So as you replenish, you are not going to replenish entirely what you need. Therefore, you're probably not going to have the same amount of fluid in your head, in your skull, and your brain still be floating. But when you get hit, it takes much more of an effect, has much more of an effect on you.
Well, you've heard of UFC fighters getting knocked out in training camp, cutting weight. They got knocked out, and then they go into fight their main event fight, and then they get knocked out again. And everyone's like, well, what happened? But it's like, wait a minute, you're already... Him getting hit, maybe if he was hydrated and fully healthy, probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Like, I think, even though I love, Silva's like a god, but when he fought Forrest Griffin, I heard, and I love that
Forrest,
fight,
yeah.
But then when I heard that Forrest Griffin got knocked out in training camp beforehand, and it was like a few days beforehand, and then fought this fight, it kind of, finding that out kind of left me, like, I felt sick about it a little bit. Like, oh shit, what? Like, I thought that Silva just came in and
Well, he did.
Though. Well, he did, but
I mean, let's keep it real.
True. But
I mean, that was some movie shit that we saw that night.
It looked like a slow motion almost.
Really. Yeah, it was like I mean, that was some movie shit that we saw.
Yeah.
You know.
But it didn't help. It really didn't help that.
It's never gonna help that you're cutting 30 pounds or 20 pounds and getting knocked out. Yeah, it's never gonna help. Never.
But if fighters were more, hey, this is what happens in training camp. This is what I go through. Like, I'm looking forward to those books being put out, like about what it was like and what they went through with promotions and training and coaches and teammates. Like, that stuff, like, is super interesting to me. Like, they even asked Gina Carano one day, like, if she put one out. I think that was during the whole Scott Coker, Elite XC.
Oh, right.
And I was like, and she's like, yeah, when I'm retired, I'm going to write that. And I'm like, I want to read that. Like, I want to know what happens behind the scenes. That's, like, the interesting drama right there.
Probably get behind the scenes and...
Well... I've already been warned numerous times about, like, promoters and how they lie.
I always say this to the fighters that might be listening. Fighters don't make money. Promoters make money. And that's not a diss to fighters that are, like, spending their lives trying to make money to feed their families and that stuff. I know what you want and what you're trying to do. But for every $1,000 you make, your promoter's making 10 or 5 or 7, you know. So, you know, just keep in mind that thing as well. I think if you have more of a pride mentality when you go in there and not have to worry about the money necessarily, you might be...
I feel like doing any job, be it fighter or whatever, for the money, that's not going to lead to happiness. Like, you're a fighter because you love it. You have... Like, when you wake up in the morning, you're like, yeah. Now, granted, you might be kind of scared because you got hit by a shot the day before, but, like... You're looking forward to that training. Like, you're like, yeah, I get to go and do this and leads to a fight, and great.
Yeah, man, be passionate about it.
Like, if you're not passionate about it, and you're just trying to make the money, you're like, oh, I can fight. Like, you that's know. Easy. No, then don't.
When they tell you to fall in love with it, they mean it. Yeah. Fall in love with it.
But because, whatever you do.
Right, with whatever you do. And that's whether you're fighting or whether you're outside selling snow cones in this beautiful, hot Miami sun.
Yeah, or you're a cook, or, you know, any job. Like, because there's people who do, like, I remember working as a waitress. I remember working at Quicksilver and meeting those people who are lifers, who I'm going to own a store one day for Quicksilver and it's going to be great and I'm going to be like a manager. Or meet the waitress who loves serving people on Ocean Drive because of all the people she meets, and she's like in her 40s and she's like, this is great. I'm going to retire here. And when I meet those people, I was like, wow, this is not what I want to do. I got to find out, you know?
Yeah. Just in case you guys didn't know, we've probably mentioned a couple of things. We are based in South Beach, Miami, and it's hot right now. It's June, and it's like 90 degrees outside.
Well, and humid, what's the 60% at least?
Yeah, humidity. It's rough out there.
So, I mean, to be a waitress out there, outside, sweating, and your makeup smearing and running, and this is what you do for, you know, certain people who are either in good moods or bad moods or whatever, she's happy. Like, I've never seen...
She's talking about some hypothetical girl that does not exist.
No, she's still News Cafe on Ocean Drive. Like, she's been there forever. And whenever I go back, I always see her and I'm like, damn, man. Like, she loves this job.
Yeah, man. Fall in love with whatever you do. You have to. Because you're never going to get out of it what you want if you don't fall in love with it.
True. I remember being jealous of...
That doesn't mean fall in love with the things you don't like.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
Well, you can fall in love with things. You can find the love in things that you do.
No, you're just defined. You're just tolerating. You're just tolerating that job. You're just standing around bitching about your boss. You're never ever going, you know what, I can't wait to get there today because I'm going to see John and John's going to be awesome. You're usually like, fuck, I got to work with John today. Yeah. Oh, not John that you might know. I just picked a name.
Well, John's a random name.
Yeah. But, it's so funny. She has a friend named John and, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't, yeah. A lot of people are named John. Doesn't mean that's not John.
Yes, but usually you're sitting around bitching about your boss going, oh, fuck, I don't even want to go in today. I'm going to see, what can I call in? I wonder if I can call in.
But there's being smart, though, too. I mean, there's, I don't know how many times I've quit a job and, like, not had a job prepared afterward. And then you kind of, I think any young person has that at first. Because you don't have an understanding of, oh, I should probably get a job before I quit this job.
Yeah, you're just like, fuck you, man, I'm out of here.
And then you're like,
I don't know whose voice that was.
Not mine.
It's like some 12-year-old kid's voice. Hell, he shouldn't have been working anyway.
But there's things you do to like I keep saying her name, but like Ronda Rousey worked what two?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to ban the name Ronda Rousey off the podcast.
But there's so much. Like, I know. I feel like other fighters don't say what they did. Like, I know Kaufman, as she's fighting, works at her gym. She trains people, and she has some sponsors. But I don't know what she did before fighting. Like. Even Gina Carano, I knew that she saw her boyfriend's... Like, I never... You don't hear the before or the during. Like, hey, I did this job.
Yeah.
I think Rhonda's been...
Well, I mean, some people were bouncers, right? Wasn't...
But you don't hear... Yeah, you hear, like, guys.
Yeah, some of the guys were bouncers. Like, and Shayna Baszler was a bouncer as well.
True.
Ah.
But she's also more... She... The whole self-promotion, putting yourself out there on social media. Like, when you do that, it opens you up and you... So, hey, I know this. This is awesome. But I'm saying, like, the average... I don't know people do. Like, people assume that I... Like, when I tell people I'm a fighter, they assume I fight. And I'm like, no, I work at a parking garage. Like...
Right.
Like...
Listen, yes, being a fighter, at least at the amateur level, you can't... You hardly ever train or able to train full-time. You're generally working a part-time job or even a full-time job and trying to get time in to train to prepare to fight because there's no money to be... At least amateurs aren't making any money.
Yeah.
And pros are making money, but you have to work your...
Sparingly.
Yeah, it's sparingly.
It's kind of like modeling a little bit.
It's like, yeah, it's a little like modeling.
You get the occasional gig, and you're like, that was great.
If you're lucky, right?
And then you're like, 3 months later, you're like, crap, I need to do something.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, like, be smart about it. Like, find your passion in life, work towards it, but find something that's allows you the time to do that job, like, to follow your passion.
It's so, like, well, you go to California, right, and they're like... what do you do? You're like, I'm an actor. And they're like, oh, which restaurant do you work at?
Yeah.
It's the same for fighters, man. Same thing. Which club are you bouncing at?
But even when I worked at CB2, they were like, why are you doing this? Why aren't you just training full time? I'm like, well, ideally I would, but I need to pay for rent and food.
And, yeah, man, you got to pay those bills.
And then you got paid to train at a gym, and they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, boy.
So then you recruit a trainer friend, and you're like, I'm just going to be friends with him because he'll train me.
No, that was meeting you was Justin is this guy that I met. I did modeling for a little bit, and I did a few commercials, and I met him on a commercial. He's like, hey, you want to do stunts? And I was like, yeah, because that sounds like an adult playground. So I was
like, and that's how Justin treated it, like an adult playground. That's not a joke, by the way. He actually did treat it like it was an adult playground. He did. He would bring in, I don't know if you were there for most of it, I think, but he would bring in like these girls, pretty Latin princesses, yeah, and be like, yes, I'm going to show you how to do stunts. And he would have them tumble over some soft, foamy things.
Even being a part of the stunt team, we had people who wanted to do stunts, and then we had people who come in and like, they just were there for a little bit. Like, they weren't there for a long time.
Yeah, they weren't.
But, you know, he quote unquote believed in me, so I was like, okay, cool. And then, you know, when I went in, I was in super uber bad shape. Like, I think I was super depressed, but I went from doing football for Miami Fury, like a full.
Oh, that's right.
But I got kind of like, it was like 150, but I was in football shape, but I was not in fighting shape. And
that's right, I forgot you played football.
Yeah.
Miami Fury.
And it was great. Like, I remember having, like, you know, I feel like that football led to having enough time on away games to like freaking Atlanta, Georgia and Texas to watching. That's why I saw Gina Carano. And I'm like, what is this?
You are, you know, you're quite interesting.
What? What?
Because you're a beast, man. Football, played rugby, cross country, track.
I mean, but the thing is like, I'm the atypical girl who did a lot of sports when they were young. I mean, I did everything from like a very young age, like third, second grade. I was soccer, basketball, volleyball, and then when I got into high school, I did two or three sports, and then I got really good at track and being a sprinter and jumper. But like, looking back on it, and I see these girls doing wrestling and all these other things, I'm like, oh man, and
yeah,
like, I really wish I would have gotten to it sooner, or karate. And I remember asking at a young age, like third grade, and seeing Karate Kid and being like, oh, hey, can I do this? And like, girls don't do that. And I'm what?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was in organized things early. I mean, I played some organized basketball. I played baseball for a whole bunch of years when I was young and did Taekwondo at a school. And then, you know, all that stuff sort of fell apart. I mean, I moved to Texas and I started skateboarding. I thought skateboarding was the ish. I thought I was going to be doing that forever. I saw Tony Hawk the year that I was really starting to grind into it, was making like $150,000 that year. I was like, oh, I can do this. I'm going to be a star of skateboarding. And then I was playing street ball. I was playing a lot of ball outside. I got out of organized sports when I moved to Texas, primarily because of racism, because there were expectations and I didn't want to do the things that they wanted me to do, to put it nicely.
That sounds sketchy.
It was a little sketchy. A little sketchy, man. There's a lot of little sketchiness going on.
That's what it sounds like.
But I did meet some of my best friends there, so I did enjoy that living in Texas. But, yeah, man, I'm glad that you took all of that anger and frustration and rage from all of your the sports and activities.
I wouldn't call it, like, a rage. I do remember, like, it's weird because, you know, the whole Title IX and, like, girls being able to play. I mean, I'm not old. I'm 30 years old. And I remember being in third grade and signing up for basketball, and there only being enough girls to have one play in every boys' team. So when we would play against each other, I usually had to play against the girl, but every now and then she would get tired and she would sit out, and I'd go against the guy. Now I was tall little kid.
That was part of the coach's plan. Yeah. They'd be like, hey,
I would block people's shots all the time. I'd sit there. And then finally, like, someone would yell, stop playing around, and I would take the ball. Because I would just hit it back down.
That's so cold-blooded. That's cold-blooded. It's like when you hold a kid on the forehead, and they're just swinging for the fences.
Like,
you're yawning.
And the same thing with soccer. Like, I remember being the only girl. Like, I mean, Title IX was a big deal for girls, but as far as, like, I mean, I know there's girls my age who got into wrestling, and that's great for them, but I just remember trying and then being told no.
And for those that are listening that don't know, what is Title IX?
Oh, it allows women have the same rights as boys to play any sport, and the school has to say okay. They can't say no to a girl. Now, some schools will still be kind of shady, at least back then, like with when it comes to wrestling, they'll just kind of like,
I don't think girls supposed to be in there wrestling.
Yeah, and they'll say certain things, or they'll make, I mean, I know Tate did wrestling when she was in high school. I mean, some schools are really awesome that way, but, or they say there's not enough money in the budget, and that was the way of like,
that's the thing, man, not enough money in the budget.
And you're just like, oh, okay, what else do you have to play, you know? And that's what I always,
they're like, piano, you can take music class, dance class, theater.
I remember even Girl Scouts were supposed to go on this awesome camping trip, and then it rained, and so we had to stay behind. The Boy Scouts went, and we stayed behind, and we had to learn table manners. And I remember being super pissed off.
You ladies stay on back here. Us fellas will go out there, and we'll go and cut the wood and make tents.
I was a very bad little kid.
If you guys knew Jen, you could totally picture her face being upset, waiting to go on this.
Yeah. Being like, wait, what? We're gonna learn what now instead of going camping? But yeah, like, I remember, yeah, always wanting to do it, but never being allowed to. Seeing all these awesome movies with, like, Van Damme and being like, wow, that's amazing. I want to, no, go play this. Oh, okay. And then, you know, high school.
Yeah, Van Damme, man.
He was awesome. Like, I remember seeing so many awesome movies and being like,
He's not awesome anymore. Oh. No, he's not. No, he's doing his thing.
Expendables. It'll be Expendables
3. I know, man. Come on. And the commercials.
True, that was...
He's got these commercials going.
It's kind of inspiring. Was that real?
Oh, you're talking about him going to fight. Was supposed to fight some guy. You're talking about that guy? Was that real thing? No.
Okay.
I mean, they haven't fought yet. That was like 2 years ago or something. Yeah. No, but he's done a couple of commercials for Kayak or something like that. One of those search engine things, I think.
The trucks.
Oh, maybe that thing as well. But he's done a couple of things. He did one where he was like shaking the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you need to make some money, you know.
Got to make some money. I don't know, though.
So, yeah, like football. That was like, that's something I've always liked since I was a little kid. And I remember asking my dad, like, watching Bears games, being like, what just happened? What's that? And he'd like, shh.
Well...
And like wanting to learn and never, like, you know, but if I was a little boy, he would have told me.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I always, even as a kid, I asked Santa Claus for football. And I got, like, a pillow football from my grandpa. Because I didn't get it originally. And my grandma's like, well, girls can't have footballs. And then I remember being, like, almost crying. Because it's all I wanted. I got Nintendo. I didn't care. I wanted a football.
Yeah.
And my grandpa was just, like, pulled up behind the couch. And then when I started, my grandma gave him a look of, like, you're dead. And he's like, it's a pillow. And I'm like, yeah, it's a pillow. And I still threw it around, whatever.
Well, it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I wanted to play football in high school. And, but I didn't want to play wide receiver. I played a little bit of corner, played a little bit of wide receiver, but I didn't want to play those positions. I wanted to play quarterback. I could throw the ball very well. Spirals, people on the move, distance, nice. Had an arm, I could move. I wanted to play quarterback. The coaches, first of all, they wouldn't let me try out. And then second of all, when I finally kept saying, hey, you know, I want to try out for quarterback, I want to try out for quarterback. The response to me was, well, you're black. You're supposed to be able to run fast. And so that was the end for me. I was like, well, I'm going to not play football anymore.
Well, why would you do something you don't want to do?
Well, I mean, I wanted to play, you know, but...
Yeah, but not you wanted to play quarterback.
Yeah. Nice. At least wanted to try out.
Yeah. See how you do.
What are you going to do?
But Gina Carano, that's what got me into MMA. Like, I didn't know about MMA. Even through... I just watched those UFC things that talk about young UFC, like early 2000s, even in the 90s. I never got exposure to that, like, ever. I never had exposure to that. Like, I missed out on a lot of stuff. But seeing Gina Carano on YouTube, like, and seeing her fight Muay Thai, and I'm like, what's this? And that's around the same time she did Elite XC. And I'm like, oh. And I remember just seeing it and, like,
being... And a warm glow fell upon my skin.
Like, just being like, what's going on? And, like, being super, almost, like, feeling, like, a happiness, like, in my heart. Like, I was like, what? This is amazing. What is it? And then all of a sudden, like, I went to research mode.
And an angel came down.
That's what it was like.
And delivered MMA upon me.
This is an option? Like, this is amazing. And then, you know, learning about jiu-jitsu and, like, boxing and striking. And I'm like, oh, yeah, boxing. I don't really like boxing that much.
What?
Well, I get bored. There's no knees and there's no elbows and then...
I understand.
Like, I'm like, I need options here.
You gotta watch it though, man. You're missing out. You're missing some stuff.
And I've watched enough where, like, there's footwork and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I see, but I think during your birthday, during the Mayweather fight,
Yeah, who was it? The Mayweather Canelo fight?
Yeah. I remember, like, it being late, number one, so I was already, like, tired. But, like, having a hard time, being like, my eyes were getting heavy. And then I'd wake up, hear people cheer, and I'd, like, look at it.
No, I think you're crazy, but...
Just because of the lack of... I feel like it's just the lack of options. Like, that's the part that my brain starts to go, oh, like, you only can do this.
Well, that's just not... I mean, that's part of, like... I'm not saying that you're wrong for that. I'm just saying that's part of not... Not knowing all the ins and outs of boxing, sure. Because I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going on there that the average watcher doesn't.
Head movement and like
well, I mean, even placement of punches and that kind of thing. You know, when you're watching good boxers, you're like, whoa, good high level boxers, you'd be like, holy crap.
Yeah. But I still see them clinch every now and then. Well, not clinch, but they get close, and I'm like,
yeah, it's a clinch. It's still a clinch.
Knees and elbows, and they just rest. And I'm like, what is that resting? But yeah, there's MMA. Just that was what spoke to me. Like. MMA having all those options. Like, there's only a few rules, which, you know, makes sense because you can't eye gouge and fish hook and, you know, things that make sense. But, like, dude, knees and...
You can't fish hook Brian Caraway. That's his name, right? Yeah. Misha's boy.
But that was, from what I've heard, it was a mistake.
Well, of course it was a mistake. I don't think he did it on purpose, but yeah. When was the last time you saw somebody fish hook somebody before a rear naked choke? It's been a long time. I'll never... Never seen it.
Okay, valid point. I mean, yeah, you're right. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Never seen it because it's not allowed, and you generally know when you're sticking your fingers in somebody's mouth. Brian Caraway. I'm not saying that you know you knew that. Just like the dude in soccer the other day
bit somebody,
but just said, oh, those kind of things happen. And, like,
no, it doesn't.
No, only to you. You've only bitten people like three or four times.
Like the eye poke by accident, that happens just because people put their fingers out.
That does happen by accident.
That happens by accident.
But it also happens by accidentally on purpose.
Okay, but that happens more often, so we're not used to seeing it, but it's like, okay, like that makes sense. He's trying to gauge distance.
Right, right, you poked him in the eye.
The fish hook?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Last time you fish hooked somebody to get a rear naked choke.
Never.
I'm going to work the over-under. When work the over under, I couldn't trap his arm.
I guess if you're like,
I'm fish hooking. Screw it.
To try to like the devil's advocate, if you're really tired and you're kind of like this person's moving and you're like, and you just gauge stuff wrong, I actually could happen for a second.
I'm not listening to that nonsense. Yeah, I'm really not.
So anyway.
Yeah, so yeah, anyway.
It happens.
So this is us. This is Lucky and Supergirl. And this is the first podcast. And
I know we were kind of all over.
We were all over, but it was good. We think we did an hour or so. This is the first one. We'll have more. We'll have guests. And we'll have fun, and hopefully it'll get better. If it doesn't, you don't have to listen. We don't give a shit one way or the other.
I mean, even audio wise,
we just want you to have some fun, and you know, hopefully you enjoy it. If you don't, you don't have to listen. We love you anyway.
Or give us another chance because it's probably gonna get better.
Yeah, we really would like another chance.
It's going to get better. I know I have my mic turned around for a little bit.
Yeah, she was talking to the other side of her microphone, which that's a whole nother issue.
So we'll see how that sounds.
But if you want to check us out on Instagram, you can check me out at Lucky's Muay Thai on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find Lucky's Muay Thai on Facebook.
And I'm probably a friend of all those things.
And Jen is?
An Instagram, no_limits83. I know, I gotta change that up.
No limits. What's wrong with that?
Because it's no underscore and then limits.
Because people don't like underscores?
Well, because I know people...
Oh, I would totally friend her, but like, she underscores.
Is it a space? And I'm like, no, it's an underscore. And some people are like, what's an underscore? And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, man, the new America. What's an underscore?
Okay. Did you ever see that new the internet thing? On that NBC? We're talking about internet for the first time. And they're like, what's... At? Is that an at? What is that?
What is that? Yeah.
Save the circle. What's the internet?
Oh, boy.
If you haven't seen it, you can see it. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't know, they didn't understand the internet. Like, what is it? Like, what is the internet? I don't understand.
It's crazy.
So, wait, we're at where? Look it up.
Evolution, baby. Evolution.
Look it up.
So, this is us, and you can check us out. You can check me out teaching at South Beach Boxing on Miami Beach. That's 7th and Washington. If you ever make it down here, we'd love to have you, whoever you may be. Come in and check it out. One rule for me is no assholes allowed.
That's a great rule.
It's a great rule. It's a rule I had to come up with because I have to keep this right. I don't want any assholes.
I'm just going to assholes that have common and they leave.
Yeah. So that's it from us, I believe. For the first one, not too bad. Did a little time.
We'll see.
LMT, LMT, LMT. That's Lucky's Muay Thai. That goes out to my team. Felipe and Hugo and Pam and George and, you know, everybody. Sarah. Whoever you are. Sarah, for sure. Up more. These guys will be fighting in August. August 8th in Tampa. At the Muay Thai Classic.
It'll be Sarah's first fight.
Sarah's first fight. And then we're probably going to have fights again in October.
And we'll see what happens with that.
We'll see what happens with Supergirl.
I feel people winking at me as she says that.
People keep asking me,
when are you going to fight? Where are you going to fight? Where are you going to fight? And I'm like, dude, I just came back from surgery. I'm like, where are you going to fight? Okay, a tentative October 3rd. But it's tentative.
Wait, so before we get off, I have to say, I commend this woman. And I also condemn this woman because she's like, I got a fight plan, a plan for my recovery and fights. I wish I had it available to me right now. And she hands me this paper and she literally wrote out her whole entire fight strategy leading up for recovery and her fight planning for the entire rest of the year.
I feel like looking back at it.
Wait. And then when I saw her again, she handed me another piece of paper.
Because I feel like when I saw it, like, I feel like that was Supergirl. Like, this is how it's going to happen. I'm going to be good in this amount of time. And I'm going to just keep getting better. My knees are going to be great. And there's going to be no pain or nothing involved. No sickness, no nothing. This is great. And then I feel like a few months later, I was like, oh, hang on. I'm kind of behind my plan already. Let me try to be more realistic. And then I give them an update. And I'm looking at it again, I'm like, shit. So it's great to have plans and to have goals. But life happens, and you can't, like, make your body
that's heal right.
And, you gotta, and then, like, you better heal quicker. You heal quicker.
That's right.
Do that kick.
You got to go with the flow and how it gets better. But it was quite, I thought it was ambitious that you had all these things written out with tiny little lettering. Tiny lettering. Lexia typed it.
It was little lettering.
I was like, what the?
Double-sided.
Double-sided, both sides of the paper. I'm like, this is, first of all, it was genius. And then it was crazy at the same time.
Well, I want to have like 3-4 fights this year.
Yeah. Like, it was amazing.
But I'm like, maybe one or two. Uh-huh. Maybe one.
And if you were wondering, Supergirl, there is a formula for that. The formula for Supergirl is Jennifer plus other girl plus Jell-O equals Supergirl.
Yeah.
So.
That nickname's interesting.
Let's save it for the next one.
Yeah. It's an interesting nickname.
It is an interesting nickname.
Yeah.
And it did come from fighting. But it didn't come from fighting. And Shogun's starting to get wily in the background.
Your dog.
My dog.
Not Shogun.
Not the actual Shogun barking in the background. My dog Shogun. My vicious pit bull. But he's not a pit bull.
He's not vicious.
And he's not vicious.
He's like, I've never seen him angry ever.
Ever. He just wanna play.
Yeah.
Anyway, on that note, LMT is in the house, the first podcast. Myself, Crew Lucky, Ed, Supergirl.
Your assistant.
My assistant, Jennifer Supergirl Courtney. And we love you guys. We'll catch you on the episode number deuce.
That sounds weird.
That did sound kind of weird and nasty. I'm not so sure. Anyway, maybe we'll have a guest.
Next time. Whenever that may be. In a week.
And she'll give you some health tips next time as well.
And also the epicness of Supergirl nickname.
Yes. God. All right, we out.
Bye.
Peace.